All right, welcome back to the Steve Gerber Show. Our next guest has become a regular contributor to the program, and we greatly appreciate what he brings. Herb London, president of the London Center for Policy Research and the co-author of a new book, The Encyclopedia of Militant Islam, for which I'm sure he gets a lot of very entertaining email into his inbox. Herb, welcome back to the program.
Well, Steve, always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much.
Well, I just have to talk to you about a couple of things. I mean, we've had a lot of conversations in recent weeks, different folks have, that Donald Trump could be the signal, I suppose, of the end of the Republican Party. And it's an interesting conversation that the Republican Party is going to implode. But then I look at what's going on with the Democrats, and I've got to be honest, Herb. I'm looking at this going, you've got a Democratic, you've got a socialist, you've got an out-and-out Marxist that's running pretty close to neck and neck with Hillary Clinton. I think the Democratic Party could be in peril of going extinct at the same time. There is a political war going on for the hearts and minds of the next generation of Americans. And sadly, it seems that we've trained a lot of young people to believe that Marxism and Marxist thought is somehow okay. And where I was raised and the things I've been taught, that is bizarre to me. What do you make of it?
Well, I think you've stated it very well. I mean, the very idea that someone who believes that the government should be in control of the means of production and is running head-to-head with Hillary Clinton is a kind of remarkable development. It strikes me that what has happened in the United States is that we've seen a dumbing down in our educational system, and people do not have any understanding of the empirical evidence of the 20th century, which clearly demonstrated that this kind of socialist idea doesn't work.
No, it fails 100% of the time. It's perfectly true that it fails 100% of the time. And here's what really makes me scratch my head, Herb, is I see people that claim to be Republicans, and some of them have been Republicans, at least in public, for most of my life. And they make comments like, well, I'd probably rather see Hillary become president than Donald Trump. And at that point, I stop and I say, what's wrong with this picture? To me, it makes me think that the whole damn thing is rigged.
Well, it's a very, very strange set of affairs, because what you have with Donald Trump is a reality TV star who knows how to play the media very effectively. But when it comes to policy issues, he's like a babe in the woods. He really doesn't understand, and he is all over the map. One day he is for, and next day he's against.
There's an awful
lot of cynicism about the Trump campaign.
Yeah, sometimes he takes different positions in the same speech. It doesn't even have to take day to day. He can do it all in one speech and take three different sides of one position, as we've noticed. However, the administration we have currently was a novice administration, naive, one would say, unless you buy into the notion that Barack Obama has done exactly what he set out to do, which was lessen America's standing in the world, lessen America's ability to do much of anything, bankrupt. Well, he's bankrupted the coal industry, Peabody, for example, filing bankruptcy, the biggest coal producer in the world, filing bankruptcy this week. Barack Obama is accomplishing his goals, but in foreign policy and so forth. And I mean, so that's the question. Is he a rookie or is that what he wants?
Well, Steve, he didn't run on that platform. He ran for hope and change. People didn't understand the nature of that change. But you're quite right in the assertion that we've seen what Barack Obama can achieve and has achieved, and it's been disastrous for the United States. The question is, can the United States recover? The downward slope in our history is a very worrisome one. Can the Donald Trumps of the world do something about it? I have my doubts, but it strikes me that the Republican Party is in a series of, is in disarray. Let me put it that way. It is certainly in disarray. And whether the party can put itself into a position after the July 18th convention to unify and be a party that is capable of winning the presidency remains to be seen. That's the great challenge.
I don't disagree with you, but here's my question back to you. Herb London with us, the president of the London Center for Policy Research. It's simply this. Okay, the Republican Party is in turmoil. People don't like Donald Trump. He has said some odd things, some offensive things. He's also said some things that make a lot of sense, like, why are we footing the bill for NATO? Why do we not have a secure southern border? Why are we, conducting ourselves in such a fashion that we allow China to manipulate currency? These are all fair questions that deserve, honestly, a good discussion. So he's brought some important things to the table to have conversations about that would otherwise have been forgotten. And so I say, we started with 17 candidates, I believe, or 18, whatever it was. There were governors and senators and qualified people, and none of them made the grade. Jeb Bush, no big deal, gone. Chris Christie, gone. You know, and you look at the, and John Kasich, he just refuses to leave. He's almost taken on stalker status because he won't leave when he has no chance of winning. So it leaves me wondering, what could we have done differently? What candidate could we have brought to the table? Could Republicans have brought to the table that would have fared any better?
Well, I can't answer that question because it's obviously in the realm of speculation. Trump is there, and you're quite right in your assertion that Trump has raised a lot of very important issues. Has he raised them in the appropriate manner? Probably not. But nonetheless, these are issues that have to be addressed. There is a candidate out there named Ted Cruz, who's smart, understands the policy issues. There are many people who do not like the Ted Cruz candidacy, but he is someone who I think is formidable, young, inexperienced, and I think by and large has also put his foot in his mouth a great deal. But there is an alternative within the Republican Party. Whether that alternative can be reached, can reach the point where he gains sufficient traction to be the candidate in July remains to be seen.
No, in fact, if things play out the way they're going right now, Donald Trump is leading in New York by a mile, same in Pennsylvania, same in Maryland. Right now, Ted Cruz will be mathematically eliminated before April is over.
I don't think that's true. I think that despite the victories that Trump will achieve in New York and Maryland and elsewhere, Pennsylvania, for example, has 54 candidates or delegates who are up for grabs, and they're not going to be in the vote. In New York, if Trump gets 50% or less, he is going to lose quite a few of the 98 candidates, or 96 candidates that are available in New York.
Yeah, but right now, he's at 55%, Herb.
That is correct. But I still doubt that he gets the 1237 necessary to secure the nomination in July. Or, if he has 1,100, he will make the argument, I have more than anyone else. I've won more states than anyone else. I deserve this nomination. But Rance Priebus is going to say we've got a rule. It's 1237. 1236 doesn't work. 1235 doesn't work. 1237 is the number. Now you're going to have a second ballot.
Yeah, and if you do that,
anything can happen.
And if you do that, if Rance Priebus goes in and if Trump's within a few delegates and he comes up short, and people look at what happened in Colorado where nobody voted, and whether those are the rules or not, I don't care. The fact of the matter, it looks bad and it smells bad because people in America think that voters should make a difference, and I'm one of those people that thinks that voters should make the call on who becomes our president or whatever. So it looks bad, and if Rance Priebus denies Trump the nomination and he's a few delegates short, you will burn down the Republican Party. You'll burn it to the ground.
I think that you're quite right. I think that you're making a very important point. But one of the things that you have to understand is we do not live in a democracy. We live in a republic.
That's right.
As a consequence, each one of the states determines rules for itself. Now, I think that the rules in Colorado are odd, but nonetheless, they are the rules. Colorado established its own rules. Now, you may say, for the people did not vote, but that's what Colorado wanted. Colorado had a system where the delegates made the decision, not the voters. And in many states, you have systems very much like that. Each state has an idiosyncratic way of selecting their presidential candidate.
All
so
true.
To say that, well, the voters didn't participate, yes, in some states they do not. But this is a party vote. This is not a vote for the presidency of the United States. It's a party nomination. And you could say maybe smoke-filled rooms would be better than the system that we have. And perhaps that's true. But we have a combination of one, states making the determination based on the delegates within that state, and two, some states where the primaries mean everything.
Well,
even
Herbert,
in those states, in those states, I was going to say, you know, it's not all Republicans that are voting.
No, I understand that open primaries put Democrats in play, too, and I appreciate your point. In Colorado, smoke-filled rooms, all right. I just wonder what that smoke is made up of. Herb London, I wish I had more. Well, there you go. See, I had to get that in one way or the other. Herb London, I greatly appreciate your time, as always.
Well, always a pleasure to be with you.
Herb London.
All the best to you.
Yes, sir. Herb London, president of the London Center for Policy Research, co-author of the new book, The Encyclopedia of Militant Islam. This is The Steve Gruber Show.